If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew right there in front of you. I want to encourage you to use your Bible today, Hebrews chapter 11. This Mother's Day, we want to begin a new series of messages entitled Greater Family Living. And I think all of us realize today that our families aren't everything that we want them to be. They're not everything the Lord wants them to be. But God's Word gives us the essentials that we need to become the kind of family God wants us to have. And we can have a greater family life. We can have greater family living. And we need to look into the Word of God to figure out how that is. Before I get into the message, I want to just share a couple of things I thought were pretty cute this morning. There was a group of elementary school students that were asked these questions about moms. And here were their responses. They were asked, why did God make mothers? One of the students said, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. And another one said, mostly to clean the house. Another question was, how did God make mothers? And one little boy said, he used dirt, just like for the rest of us. One of the kids, I'm guessing it must have been a little girl, said, magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. Another one said, God made my mom just the same like he made me. He just used bigger parts. Another question, what ingredients are mothers made of? God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. I think my mom got more than a dab. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? One little kid said, because we're related. And another one said, because God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. And ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? We love moms. We're thankful for the moms that are here in this church. Thankful for the families that God has blessed this church with. As I sit up here and singing, worshiping with you and looking around at your families, it's just a joy to be in God's house. We're thankful for moms, and I know there's a lot of different situations, a lot of tough situations in people's lives, but we are in this world, and we see God's perfect plan for the family, and we understand that sin has messed that up. Amen. And families aren't, we're not everything that God wants us to be all the time. We're just kind of a mess. But I want you to know something, friend. God can take whatever kind of mess we're in, and he can make it something great. He can work all things together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. And God wants to see greater things done in your life and in your family. And so we want to learn about that today. If our families are going to experience a greater way of living, we're going to need God's help. Not going to be able to buy some self-help book at the bookstore or get it on your Kindle and get some psychologist opinion about things and make your life all better. You're not going to be able to turn over a new leaf and make your life all better and your family what it needs to be. If we're going to have a greater family life, we're going to have God's help. And if we're going to have God's help and have God working in our families, we have to learn to trust Him. We've got to learn to believe Him. We've got to learn to just trust Him. Greater family living begins with faith. Now, faith is something that's talked about a lot in society and culture today. Even people who don't believe in God say that you need to have faith, that it's a positive impact on your thinking, and you just need to have a positive mental attitude and just have faith. But listen, faith is only as good as the object that you put it in. Listen, there might be a chair. Some of you might still have them, those plastic patio chairs. You guys know what I'm talking about? I hate those things because something happens. If you get too rough with them or something happens, the legs will get bent and then they're no longer as good as they used to be. Now, it looks just like the rest of the chairs, but if you forget which one's the bad one and you sit down in it, you're going to end up on your tail end. Now, you might have thought that chair would hold you up, but you put your faith in it. You trusted that you sat down and it would hold you up. But when you sit down in that broken chair, you painfully find out that your faith was sorely misplaced. And the reality is, it's not just about having faith in just anything. Our faith must be in God. The one true and living God of the Bible is where we have to have our faith today. You got to realize, friends, we have an opportunity each day, each and every morning when we wake up, we have an opportunity to place our faith in the pre-existent, eternal, all-powerful creator of the entire universe. He says, you can trust me. And we can live like that every day. I want to invite you to stand with me, if you would please, to honor the word of God. We're going to read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 7 will be our text this morning. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Before we get into the message, Brother Ryan, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. Please be seated. We can truly have greater family living, but how do we get there? Well, to see our family saved by God and blessed by God and living by the grace of God, we need to have faith. Now, we see a couple of examples here, and if you look through Hebrews chapter 11, you see many men and women who did great things, and they did them all by faith. We're going to focus on Noah this morning. I don't know about you, but when you start looking at the condition of our world today, it gets a little discouraging. Amen. When you look at the upcoming presidential elections, it'll make you just sick to your stomach. But I want you to understand something. We live in a fallen world, and the world has always been a sinful place. And if you think it's bad in America right now today, I want you to consider how it was in Noah's day. The Bible says in Noah's day that the earth was filled with violence, that the thoughts of man's heart were only on evil continually, and out of every living soul on the planet, only Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Amen. Why? Because Noah had faith in God, and his faith wasn't fake. His faith was real. How do you know it was real? Because when he believed God, he obeyed God. When he trusted God, he did what God said. When God gave him a warning, he listened to the warning. And so he had great faith in God. And I want to tell you, no matter how bad this world gets, no matter what kind of shape our culture gets into, no matter how dark and deplorable it becomes, you can still have faith in God. You can still have a family that's living in a greater way, and you can enjoy the blessings of God in this life and in the world to come. Amen. If we live by faith. How do we do that? How do we have real faith in God? Because I want to tell you, I think there are a lot of people with fake faith today. I believe that there are a lot of people who outwardly profess God, but they don't with their mouths, but they don't possess Him in their hearts, and He's not really evidenced in their lives. You say, "Well, preacher, we're at church on Sunday morning," and that's great, but that's not really where our faith is proven. Our faith is proven when we walk out of those doors. And how we live in between the time we walk out of the doors until we come back again. And by the way, I hope there's not much time in between there. First of all, very simply, to have this kind of faith, we need to, number one, receive the Word. Receive the Word of God. The Bible says that in verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. God came to Noah and God spoke to Noah and God said, "Listen, I'm sick of it. I've had enough. I've been long-suffering. I've been merciful. I've put up with these people as long as I'm going to, and I'm done. But you found grace in my eyes, but I want you to know what's going to happen. I'm going to destroy the world with a flood. The heavens are going to open up. The rain's going to come down. The fountains of the deep are going to break up. I'm going to flood this whole earth. But I want you to build an ark of gopher wood, and I'm going to save you and your family." And really, anybody who was willing to believe the message of God could have been saved. Amen. Right? So God says, I'm going to destroy the world. I'm telling you what's going to happen. And Noah received the message. God was saying it, but he heard it, and he believed it. I want you to get this, friends, because God's still speaking to the world today. He's telling the world through this book, His holy word, the Bible. He's telling the world that there is judgment that is coming one day. It's not going to be in water this time. It's going to be in fire. And judgment's going to come on all those who do not believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are unwilling to turn from their sin and trust in Christ alone, judgment and the wrath of Almighty God. The Bible uses terms like everlasting destruction. God is sounding out a warning. And people have to choose whether they're going to receive that word or not. You guys with me this morning? So what do? Well, we go door to door. And we try to witness to people. We try to share the gospel with people. And that starts with, we say we got to get somebody lost before we can get them saved. What does that mean? They're already lost. We're just trying to help them realize it. What's that about? Well, we're trying to tell them. We're trying to reason with them. We're trying to warn them about the wrath of God and judgment that's coming. Of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. We want to warn them. And people have to choose whether they're going to hear that, whether they're going to receive that. God gave Noah a warning, and he listened. But it's not just unto salvation, friend. Do you know God gives me warnings from His Word, too? Amen. I'm saved. I got saved when I was 14 years old. I trusted Christ the best way I knew how when I was 14. I just trusted Him. I believed on Jesus with all my heart, the only way I knew how, and asked Him to forgive me, asked Him to save me, and He gave me everlasting life. I'm happy about it. You don't have to be happy about it if you don't want. I'm happy about that. Amen. Greatest day in my life. Amen. I trusted Christ. I got the gift of eternal life. But God still gives me warnings today. Amen. Not to warn me that I'm going to end up in hell if I don't live right. No. I am eternally secure in Christ. Amen. My salvation doesn't depend on me. It depends only on Him. Amen. All right, making sure we're all there. I don't need to live right so I can be saved. I need to live right because I am saved. So God warns me about the way I live. He gives me the word. And it's profitable for doctrine to know what's right, for reproof to know what's not right, for correction to know how to get right, and for instruction in righteousness to know how to stay right. And God gives me warnings. He says, "Son, if you do that, you're going to be chastised. Because you're my child, and if you don't live right, I'm going to whoop you." Some of you have been saved long enough, you know something about that. So God still is sounding warnings. And He sounds out warnings to our family. He sounds out warnings to our family. He tells us to get in the Word and stay in the Word and live out the Word so that He can bless us. Because if we don't get in the Word, we're not going to know how to live. And if we don't stay in the Word, we're going to forget how to live. And if we don't live out the Word, then He's not going to be able to bless us, and He will have to chastise us. And so we've got to receive the Word. Receive the Word. Some people don't believe the Bible, though. I want to challenge you this morning. You ought to believe your Bible. And you ought not just decide, pick and choose which part you want to believe. You ought to believe every single word of this book. Amen. You can trust this book. Faith. What is faith? Verse 1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith isn't about what you can see. It's about what God says. Faith is about what God says. It's about what His Word says. And that's where it all begins, isn't it? You remember in Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus? You remember how they both died? And Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died also, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. He cried out, and he cried for a lot of different reasons, but he just wanted Lazarus to dip his finger in water and come and cool his tongue. You remember that? When none of that could happen, his final request to Father Abraham was, send somebody. Send Lazarus to my brothers so they don't end up where I'm at. People in hell, by the way, would be the greatest evangelists the world has ever seen. Amen. They don't want anybody to come where they're at. Amen. He says, send Lazarus. And Father Abraham says, he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded the one rose from the dead. Listen, if you don't believe the Word of God, you have no basis for faith. It's everything that we believe is based on this book. Amen. Everything that's worth believing is found in this book. Amen. If they're not going to believe the book, it doesn't matter if I send Lazarus. They won't believe. If they don't believe the Bible, they won't believe anything. You guys with me today? By the way, one did rise from the dead. His name is Jesus. And people still don't believe. Our faith isn't based on nothing. It's based on the Word of God. And the Word of God gives us abounding evidence of the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is and what He did and the fact that He died and was buried and rose again 3 days later. Did you know there's more evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ than there is for the Battle of Waterloo? The things that you learn in history, the life of Napoleon, the life of Abraham Lincoln, the things that we learn about in our history classes that we know are fact, we know they're true, we studied these things, we know, how do we know them? You've seen the video evidence? You can't trust that today. By the way, I've seen some of you share some of this stuff on Facebook. It's not real. Some 12-year-old with a computer and Photoshop did that. No, we trust what's written, right? We have this written history, and we believe those things. Now, I'm not saying Waterloo didn't happen. I'm just telling you today that you can trust your Bible more than you can trust anything else. Amen. It's the written Word of God. He inspired it, and He preserved it, and He's given it to us. What is faith? It's believing what God says. And when you get a hold of it, he says it's the substance of things hoped for. When you have it, it becomes real. It's hard to describe, but it becomes tangible. It's something that spiritually you can hold on to. Because I know this is true, because I believe the Word of God. He goes on to say in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know, for centuries, mankind thought that people came from the mud and all these different things that it took a long time for scientists to disprove spontaneous generation and all those different things. They're still trying to figure out, by looking at what is in the universe, what's in space and time and matter, they're trying to look at all of that and figure out where it all started. But the Word of God right here tells us, what you see doesn't come from. It wasn't created by what you see. You see, it only makes sense for there to be space, time, and matter for it to have a beginning. And everybody knows it has a beginning. Scientists try to explain it by the Big Bang. They know it all had to have a beginning, it had to start, but something or someone has to be beyond that. Somebody or something has to be bigger than that and above that. And you know who that is? His name is Jesus Christ, the Word of God, because He created all things. All things were created by Him and for Him. And without Him, there's nothing that was made. He created all things, and He is above all things. What is faith? It's trusting the Word of God. Now, God has revealed Himself. He's made Himself evident through creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. But ultimately, we have to trust in the Word of God. Amen. He's the creator of all things, and He's the keeper of all promises. God is awesome. And it's not just what we see He's done in the universe and the world, but what He does in our own lives. I want to tell you a story. I got to mention a couple of you. This morning I got a text from my sister. A man named Mike Nolander and his friend went out on the river yesterday at 2:30. They went out on the river and they never came back. So at about 3 o'clock this morning, the family starts searching for them up and down the river. And just before I came to church, just before I got here, they had found the boat, with just the nose of the boat sticking out of the water, but they couldn't find Mike and his buddy. And I want to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm talking to my sister on the way here. Mike and his family, they go to church at Landmark, and my sister's crying, and she's so upset, and they haven't even told Mike's mom yet. They found the boat. Can't find them. And so I'm praying, and I'll be honest with you. When you find the boat, but you don't find any people, you kind of start to lose hope. And all I can think about is how it's going to be for somebody to call up Sister Joyce and say, listen, we found the boat, but we can't find them. And I was in my office before Sunday school, and I was just praying, God, please, please just do a miracle. Let them find them. Let them find them alive. I'm going to tell you what God did. Because just a little while ago before church, my sister texted me back and said they found them. They're okay. Listen, God can do the impossible. I don't know any of the details. I don't know anything that happened. But I'm going to tell you this. If you end up with your boat in the water with just the nose sticking out and nobody's seen you in hours and hours and hours, it's not good. And those stories don't usually end well. And most of you know somebody who has lost somebody there. I'm just here to tell you that God can do things greater than we can imagine. He can do the impossible. Have faith in God. And we could have testimony after testimony of what God's done. I've seen people that the doctor said there's no way they should be alive, and they're alive today. They've been alive for 30 years. I've seen young people who were never supposed to walk again who have been walking and walked across the stage at graduation. When they were 3 years old, the doctor said they'll never be able to walk, and they can walk. Now listen, this isn't just to say that doctors are dumb, don't know what they're talking about. It's to say that God's greater. Amen. Receive the Word of God. He's given us many great and precious promises, and you ought to believe the Word. Receive the Word and respond in faith. Look back at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, and God gives us warnings about things that aren't seen as yet. But Noah moved with fear. Not only do we need to receive the word, we need to respond in faith. Respond with faith. Now, a lot of people I talk to just want to be neutral. They want to be like Switzerland. I'm not for God. I'm not against God. I'm not saying I don't believe, but I don't really believe either. And they want to stay neutral. I want you to understand something. You cannot stay neutral in the matter of faith in God. Amen. To not choose is to choose not. You get that? You don't, there's no in-between place here. Either you believe God or you don't. You can't be in between. By the way, you can't kind of be in between with your obedience either. Either you're obeying Him or you're not obeying Him. Because your parents understand something that we need to understand as believers. Partial obedience is complete disobedience. Right? If I tell my kids to take out the trash and they bag it all up and leave it sitting in the kitchen, have they obeyed? No. It's got to be out. If I tell my children to clean up their room and they make their bed, but they leave all their toys piled around on the floor and all the Legos for me to step on. Have they obeyed? No. Partial obedience is complete disobedience. And the same thing's true for us, friends. We can't just pick and choose. We need to believe completely. D.L. Moody said the Bible was not given for our information, but for our transformation. God doesn't tell us these things and speak to us and reveal himself to us and give us his word. He doesn't do all of that just so we'll know. Just so you know, I'm God and there's a hell. And if you don't believe in Jesus, you'll spend eternity in that place called hell. But if you believe in Jesus, you can have eternal life. I just wanted you to know that. No, God doesn't work like that. He doesn't want you to just know it. He wants you to believe it. He wants you to respond in faith. Amen. We should be faithful. Real faith always works. We read about it. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What did he do? He believed God and he obeyed God. Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because he had translated him. The Bible simply says that Enoch walked with God and he was not. For God took him. He walked with God. He was walking with God. He was so close to God. He had such faith in God that God just said, "Why don't you come on home with me today?" And we read about others in chapter 11 of Hebrews. We see Noah built the ark, and Moses' parents hid him and saved him. Moses was willing to suffer affliction with the people of God for Christ's sake than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And he was used by God to save Israel. David killed the lion and the bear and the giant. Daniel survived the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego survived through the fiery furnace. Children were raised from the dead. Armies and enemies of God were defeated. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And it goes on and on and on and on. Paul was stoned, left for dead, and got up out of the rocks and went right back into the city. Friends, I'm just telling you today that when you really believe God, you're going to live like you believe him. Respond in faith. God said, "Noah, I'm fed up. I'm going to send a flood. And every living thing outside of the ark is going to die." And you know what Noah did? He got busy. He moved with fear. He got the saw out and started cutting down the trees. He said, "Come on, boys, we got work to do." And he got his sons together, and they cut down the timber, and they sawed the logs, and they got together the pitch, and I'm sure they had to cook it down so it was usable, and they began to work. And he moved with fear because he believed God. And the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. And no doubt he tried to warn people and they mocked him. And no doubt he tried to say, "Come on, God's going to send judgment on this earth. And you need to come with us if you want to be saved." And I'm sure that they mocked him and they ridiculed him. For 120 years he worked and he labored and he stayed faithful to God. And he believed God and he responded with faith in God. And because of it, his family was saved. When you receive the word of God, you respond in faith, you will redeem your family. In verse 7, it says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." I'm so glad that I got saved when I was 14 years old. I'm glad some of you are glad for me too. Thank you. I'm glad you're saved. You could be glad I'm saved. I'm thankful for my two oldest that they've put their faith in Christ. I'm thankful that my wife was saved when she was 16 years old. After a funeral, those are good places to wake up about mortality. But I don't want just me to be saved. I want my house to be saved. I want my kids to be saved. If I live long enough to see grandkids, I want my grandkids to be saved. But I don't want just my house to be saved. I want your house to be saved. But I don't want you to just be saved. I want you to be thriving, living for the Lord, to have a greater family life than you've ever had before. Saved his house, his family. And by the way, he saved all of mankind. If God had looked down and Noah wasn't faithful, Noah didn't believe, you know where we'd be today? We wouldn't. You have no idea what your faith in God, what kind of impact it'll have on others. I believe my two oldest are saved today because we've had faith in God. Because we've been in the Word of God and we've tried to demonstrate that life and we've tried to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ and we've given them the gospel over and over and over and over and over again. That, by the way, that results in people getting saved. But I don't know what impact it'll have beyond that. You have no idea what your faith will impact others. But God can do great things when we have faith in Him. So how do we have this faith? I don't know about you. I tell you every time we talk about faith, I'm like the man in Mark 9:24. His son was possessed and the disciples weren't able to cast out the demon. He comes to Jesus and Jesus is able. Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And the man said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Now maybe that sounds contradictory to you, but I understand exactly what he says. Because I believe in God, and I believe God's able, but I don't believe like I should all the time. My faith is weak, and I need the Lord to help me to believe. So how do we have this kind of faith in our family? First of all, we've got to ask for it. Lord, I believe. Help mine own belief. Don't try to pretend to have more faith than you really do. Are you going to trick God? Come on. You can't even trick your wife. How are you going to trick God? The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. You want to have more faith? Then ask for it. As a dad, ask for it. As a mom, ask for it. As a child, ask for it. As a family, get together and ask. God, help us to have more faith, to trust in you. Not only that, we've got to get in the Word. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. Have any of you ever, some of you have been saved for a minute. Some of you guys have been saved a long time. Have you ever had your faith waver, your faith not be as strong as it need to be? Amen. All right, how many of you would testify when your faith was weak, so was your Bible study? Amen. Yeah, crazy, isn't it? Almost like God knew what he was talking about. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you're not in the church house listening to the preaching of the Word of God, your faith won't be as strong. If you're in church and listening to the preaching, great. But if you don't open this book on your own every day, your faith will not be as strong. Amen. This is our supply. Amen. We pray, God, please increase our faith. He says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I'll give you more faith. Get in my Word. Amen. You don't have faith, it's because you're not in the Word. I guarantee it. If you want to have stronger faith in your life and in your family, then get in the Word. Have a daily devotional. Personally and as a family. Real faith works. I want to invite you to look real quick at James chapter 2. James chapter 2. You want to have faith in your family, ask for it, study for it, and live it. James 2, verse 14, what did the prophet, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, I want you to get this. A lot of people think these verses are saying you can lose your salvation, and it couldn't be farther from the truth. These verses are telling us that real faith results in a change in our lifestyle. Real faith works. Okay? If Brother Brian comes to me and he's hungry and he's starving, Lord just had enough and she kicked him out, and I say, oh, man, I'm really sorry, man. Be warmed and filled and send him on his way, but I don't give him any food and I don't give him any clothes. I don't do anything to help. What good is that? Just like that, if you say, oh, I believe in God. I believe in God. But your life doesn't demonstrate it, then there's something wrong with your faith. You say you believe, but there's no evidence of the belief. Look at it. Verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. What's dead? You? No, the faith. If you have a faith that doesn't work, there's something wrong with your faith. Verse 18, if yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You believe, great. So does the devil. So do all the demons. Big deal. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So what is it? God spoke to Abraham. Abraham believed God. Because he believed God, he acted on that faith. And his faith was completed. His faith was shown to be real because he obeyed God. Anybody can say, I believe. But if you really believe, it's going to show in your life. When he believed God, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. God made him righteous because of his faith. But because he was righteous, he had to do what God said. That righteousness is going to show in our life. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Real faith works. So what does it look like? How does a family with real faith, how does it work? What does it look like? I want you to listen to what 2 Timothy 1:5 says. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You see, Timothy's family was a picture of faith. And you say, where was dad and granddad and all this? I don't know. You see, his family wasn't the perfect biblical model either. You see that? And yet God used him and his mama and his grandmother in a great way. Why? Because they had faith. How do we do it? How do we pass it on to our kids? Listen. Real quickly, and I'll wrap it up. If we're going to have real faith in our family and pass it on, number one, we need to keep it real. He said, the unfeigned faith that is in thee. The faith that Timothy had was a real faith. Unfeigned. To feign means to fake. When you're watching a basketball game and We say somebody got their ankles broke. You know what we're talking about? They faked one way and went another way, and this guy's over there. That's fun to watch, isn't it, Brother Ryan? Brother Ryan used to could do that to other people. Used to. What are you doing? You're pretending to do one thing when you're really doing something else. Timothy didn't have that kind of faith. His faith was real. Why? Because his mama's faith was real. Why? Because her mama's faith was real. Real faith. Keep it real. Have a real faith in God. And if you don't have real faith in God, then ask for it. Amen. And get in the Word. Second, number one, keep it real. Number two, live it. He says, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. It dwelt. It lived inside of her. When you have real faith, it lives inside of you, and it guides the way that you live. When you really believe God and God's Word, it's inside of you, and it's the compass for your life. It's your faith that determines how you're going to live. Our beliefs determine our behavior. And so we got to keep it real, and we've got to live it out. Live out your faith. Don't keep it inside, but let other people see it. Let it be the guiding force in your life, the decisions you make. Let your faith in Christ be the guide for the way that you live. And next, pass it on. It was first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and in thee also. What happened? It was passed on. It's passed on. How do we do that? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We need to have a real faith. We need to keep it real. We need to live it out, and we need to pass it on. How do we do that? Well, we get in the Word. We get the Word in our heart, and then we teach it to our children diligently. One of the most practical ways you can do that is by having daily family devotionals. You can call it whatever you want to. Some people call it the family altar. It doesn't really matter what you call it, but what it is you set a time every day where your family gets together. Maybe it's just you and your wife, you and your kids. Maybe it's you and your grandkids. Whatever it is, your family gets together. You open up the Bible, you pray, you read Scripture, and you talk about it. Everybody with me? This is the practical application for the lesson today. You don't want to miss this. Set a time. If you're going to have family devotionals, make it regular. He said teach them diligently. You need to be diligent about it. It needs to be a priority for you. We make education a priority for our kids, don't we? I mean, when they got to go to school, you get up, you get them ready, you get them there on time or somewhere around on time. But you make sure they're there for school every day, don't you? Yeah, why? Because it's important. We think their education's important. We want our kids to be educated. We don't want them to be ignoramuses. Amen? Amen? Somebody that's ignorant, it has nothing to do with their IQ. It has to do with what they've been taught. So that was not an insult. I don't want to hear about it later. No, we want our kids to be educated. We want them to know things. So we make it a priority. Guess what, friends? They need this more than they need anything else. So make it regular. Set a time. Make it a priority. Listen, I understand. There's some nights we get in late, and the kids, it's just, you know, it's time to go to bed. But if we don't do anything else, I'm going to read them a verse, and we're going to pray. But other times, there's more time, and things, you know, nobody's about to die because we're about to pull our hair out or anything. It's good. We can sit down, and we can pray, and we can read the Scripture, and we can discuss it, and we talk about it with our kids. So make it regular and make it relevant. Structure your devotional to the needs of your family and adapt as needed. Listen, your kids are all in different places, and you need to talk to them about what's relevant for them. I like to talk to my kids about obeying mommy and daddy. It's a regular topic at our house. Amen? Amen. And as they get older, we'll have to talk about different stuff, but we make it relevant. Not just adapting to their needs, but focusing on real life struggles for the different life stages where your family is. Make it real. Make it relevant. emphasize personal application and faithful obedience. God doesn't give us his word for information, but for transformation. We need to receive the word, respond in faith. And when we do that, we can redeem our family. We're going to get ready for an invitation. And while they're coming, I want you to listen to verse 7 one more time. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So how do we trust God in this God-hating culture? How do we make a difference in this world in which we live today? What does a family with genuine faith look like? Well, it looks like Noah's family. They weren't perfect. They were a mess. But they believed God. They received his word and they responded in faith. And when he responded in faith, when he lived out his faith, you know what happened? It says he condemned the world. In other words, his righteous lifestyle showed the difference. Amen. You don't have to be like the world. Amen. The world is going to end in destruction. Right. But you can be saved and blessed by God. Amen. And he became heir of righteousness. The goodness, the rightness of God was on his life because he believed. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing what number?
Page 5.